Good morning, family. How are you this morning? Come on, let's make our way to the front of the church and get ready to bless God. Good morning, family. I said, how are you this morning? God is great. He's greatly to be praised. Amen. I watched a movie last night. My wife reminded me of it. It was the movie called God's Not Dead 2. Have you seen it? And the lady in there was reminded of something that she had seen that brought her to a place where she came and asked Jesus Christ as her Savior. And the sign said, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who is your maker today? Is he your redeemer? Is he your Savior? Is he your healer? Is he your deliverer? Is he the one that closes up the gap when the gap needs to be closed? If he is all these things, and the Bible said, and the apostle answered and he said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. So if he's all these things, then he's worthy of our praise. Amen. He's worthy of our best praise. Amen. He's worthy of us coming outside of our own self, outside of our shell, and give him glory and honor. So could we stand together this morning and get ready to bless God? Can we get ready to give him all glory, all honor, all praise? Father, we thank you that we can come into your house this morning. We thank you that we can glorify you and we can honor you. We pray right now that your spirit would have his way. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we go. Glorious. Shouting out loud, glorious. Make it loud and glorious. Come on, church. Come on, sing glory. Glorious.
Forever and ever, how great your name. Your love remains forever and ever. You stay the same.
Come on, sing, shout it out.
Shout it out, shout it out. But you know he's good. Sing it out, for the Lord is good. Jesus, we shout your name. see you shine for all the world to see. You are glorious.
Come on, sing it with me.
Shine, Jesus. Shine for all the world to see. You are glorious. A miracle in this room, yeah, yeah. It's got my name on it. There's a healing in this room, and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough in this room, and it's got my name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I said, you know what? I'm not just singing it. I'm proclaiming it. I'm believing in it. I'm walking in it. I'm calling the things that are not as though they are. I said this. I said there's a miracle
in this room.
Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, it's got my name on it. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? I said there's a healing in this room, and it's here for me. Oh, yeah, yeah. Breakthrough. Here it comes. I said there's a breakthrough in this room, and it's got my name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Come on, let's do this. Hallelujah. Jesus. Yes. Come on, sing.
There's a miracle in this room with my name.
Yes, sir.
There's a healing in this room, and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough in this room.
Oh,
it's my name.
It's got my name on it.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Yes, I am.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Let's go to the top again. Sing, there's a miracle.
There's a miracle in this room with my name on it.
Oh, there is.
There's a healing.
So what you gonna do?
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Come on, church.
I'm gonna put a praise.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Yes, you need to put a praise on it.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Oh, I'm gonna put a praise on it.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Yeah, I gotta put a praise on it this morning.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Oh, yeah, hold on. You know what? I just feel like it's really important. I feel like it's really important. Last service, I kept hearing this thing come to my mind. And I said, God, I want to be able to share it. But I want it to be a word of encouragement, not a word of chastisement. But I think that we, the church, sometimes we, the church people, the congregation, those of us that come week after week, we come with this familiarity about God. This familiarity, it's another service, it's another Sunday, it's another day, it's another week. And guess what? I'm just like the most of you. I get up in the morning and do the same routine day after day. But I want to remind you that you don't serve a familiar God. Did you hear what I said? I said you don't serve a familiar God, you serve a supernatural God. You serve a God that knows right where you are. And because I serve a supernatural God, I got to stand back and say, I got to put a praise on it. Come on.
I'm gonna
put a praise on it. Come on. Let me hear you, church.
I'm going to put a praise on it.
What you going to do this morning?
Put a praise on it.
Yeah. You gonna do that this morning? Are you gonna put a praise on it this morning?
put a praise on.
Yes, I am. I'm gonna. Come on, let's put a praise on.
What
are you gonna do this morning? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm gonna put a praise
on. I'm gonna put a praise on.
Look at your other neighbor this morning and say, I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on my miracle. I'm gonna put a praise on my blessings. I'm gonna put a praise upon my life. Hallelujah. I'm gonna put a praise on my breakthrough. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah, yeah, hallelujah, Jesus, you deserve all the glory, you deserve all the honor I can give you. You saw something in me. Yes, you did. You thought I was worth saving. You came to rescue me. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. Yes, you did.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth
keeping.
So you cleaned me up inside.
You thought I was to die for.
So you sacrificed your life
so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell.
Sing it again.
You thought I was worth saving.
So you came and changed my life.
You thought I was worth keeping.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for me. So you sacrificed your life
so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell.
God who changed my life, and I will praise you forever.
I'll worship you.
I'll worship you. I'll give you glory. Because I am free. Because I am whole. And I will tell.
You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. Thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone. You thought I was worth saving, so you came to change my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. You thought I was to die for. You thought I was to die for. Yes, you did. You thought I was to die for. So I could be free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus, come on, provide. You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. And I will open up inside. Come on, sing it with me, church. You provide the fire. Sing it again. You provide the spirit, and I will open up inside. Sing it again. You provide the fire. And I'll provide the sacrifice. Yes, I will. You provide.
You provide the spirit. Oh,
oh. I will open up.
And I will open up inside.
Fill me. Fill me up.
provide the sacrifice. You provide the Spirit,
Jesus.
The Spirit,
Jesus.
Yeah. And I will open up inside.
Jesus. 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 She cut out a boat. Jesus. 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 You're so worthy, Jesus. You're so holy, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. You're so holy, God. Jesus. Ignite a fire this morning. Ignite a fire within our spirits that cannot be denied this morning. Jesus. 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 You're worthy, God. You're faithful, God. You're mighty, God. You're righteous, Lord. You're holy. You are holy. Jesus. Jesus. Shikoba teke hiria baba kararamande hiriria shikiti andororo bobo shikiana lamande. Shikiandere araba shikororo boku yananamande. Ihirianamande. What you don't understand is happening in the spirit is there is movement in the supernatural. What you don't understand is there's movement when you've been praying for something in the natural that can only come forth in the supernatural. What you don't understand is when there's a spirit moving, you've got to move. You've got to move.
Fill me up till I overflow. Me up, yeah, till I overflow. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. Fill me up, yeah, till I overflow. I wanna run over. I
till I overflow. I want to run over. I need to run over. You'll be your till I overflow. I want to run over. I want to run over.
One more time.
You'll be your till I
Jesus,
hallelujah.
He's moving this morning.
Hallelujah.
He's moving in this
hallelujah.
Place.
Come on. Come on.
Right now.
Hallelujah.
Every hand lifted. I want every hand lifted in this place.
Jesus.
If you're holding on to somebody, you let go and raise your hand. You see, Jesus wants to do something in this house today. Jesus. For those of you that don't understand what's happening, what we're doing is we're surrendering to a Most High God. We're surrendering to our King, our Creator. We surrender to you, God. We surrender to you, Lord. Hallelujah. What I keep hearing in the spirit, every eye closed, every hand lifted. Even if you don't understand what's happening here, guess what? You're going to survive. You will walk out of this place alive. So lift your hands up, even if you don't know what you're doing. But I got to tell you this, what I keep hearing him say is, I want them to know I love you. I love you. That love that overcomes every single sin. That unconditional love that reaches farther than we could ever imagine. He has that for us today, for tomorrow, for eternity. So if there's nothing else that you leave here with today, today leave knowing. The Lord is saying, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. I love you unconditionally. There is nothing that can separate you from my love. There is no sin that can separate you from my love. And my love, that perfect love, covers a multitude of sin. Jesus, today, Lord, we didn't come here to do a church service. Father, we didn't come here just to do church. We came here to seek your face. We came here to worship an amazing and awesome Father. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to come here freely, liberally, and to know that we can come before a holy God. We can stand at your throne. We can come to you boldly. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Jesus. You know, I said it in the first service. I'll say it again this service. Some of us, if we open up an envelope tomorrow morning in the mail and it had a $1 million check in it, I think we would rejoice. I think we might just dance around just a little bit. I think we might just shout a little bit, eh? We might get a little excited. Guess what? We have a Jesus that lives inside of us. We don't need to go to the mailbox. We don't need to go and seek out some monetary thing. But God is living within us. God has us. And we need to rejoice. We need to be glad. We need to dance with him sometimes. Be more fervent for the Lord than we are for those things that we should not be desiring of. Father, today we pray, God. We pray your supernatural blessing. Lord, we might have our preconceived ideas of who you are. We might have our simple mindsets of what we think you're like. Holy Spirit, right now we give you permission. We ask that you would open up our minds, open up our spiritual eyes to see, Lord, the things that we haven't. To know, God, even the things that we've desired, prayed for, sought you for. That, Jesus, what we ask in the natural is already being done in the supernatural. You're our provider. Jesus, how foolish is it us to think that we don't even think that you provide for us? You said in your word, just as earthly parents want to bless their own children, how much more your heavenly Father? Lord, we humble ourselves, Lord. As your servants, as your children, we call upon you to respond to our prayers. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let your anointing flow through our lives, not just today, but in the days to come. Let us be changed and transformed and renewed. This is about you, Jesus. This is all about you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand clap. Come on, you can do better than that. Give Jesus a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's in these moments like this you don't want to get out of because you're just like soaking in it and you love it. But listen, I want you to step out. We're family in this house, right? We are a family church. So why don't you go and find somebody that you did not know? That means some of you that are still in your seats, you might need to get out and go say hi to at least one person. I challenge you right now, do that.
Krishna, Muhammad, Allah, Confucius, they are the works of men, yeah. Krishna, Muhammad, Allah, no, no, no. Confusion, they are the works of man. Oh, Lord, the gods. They are the works of man.
Uproar, middle school kids. Please report to your class in the hallway, classroom number one. Uproar, middle school kids. You have your church service starting right now.
Down here in Campeche, Mexico, where it's very mucho frío.
Okay, no.
I'm lying. No, it's very hot. Yeah, it's hot. But we love you, and we are so glad this morning you're at His Tabernacle Family Church, and we are preaching in Campeche this morning, and we'll be home tomorrow morning. Rock solid faith, step one. Make sure you're there. We love you. Have an excellent day. Say hello.
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 Pastor Patricio and his beautiful wife and
Claudia.
His son. Very good. We love you. We will see you in a little bit.
I love you.
Hey family, I'm just here to remind you about the Uproar Talent Show coming up on February 10th. Tickets are $30 a piece. There will be a full dinner involved and an awesome bake auction. Make sure you show up at 6 for couples portraits and you might be able to win a prize for the Best Dressed Couples Award. Remember, February 10th, 6 o'clock, sign up in the foyer. I hope to see you there.
His Tabernacle, I am back again. You have a talent? Dancing, singing, acting, sound or audio visual. Listen, if you have these talents, I want you to meet us here on February 25th at 10 a.m. For more information on how to prepare yourself, hit me at Pastor Johnson at histabernacle.com.
Good morning, HT. Are you in the house? Are we here this morning? Okay, so I'm gonna do that one more time. Good morning, His Tabernacle. Good morning, good morning. We want to take a real quick moment to welcome all of our first-time guests to the house this morning. One of the things that we do is we make you come up on the altar and make you dance. No, I'm just kidding. So if you are a first-time guest in the house, we really seriously will not, you know, like embarrass you at all. But if you could raise your hand up, we have a gift for you, a packet we'd like to get in your hands and get you some information. If you are a first-time guest, can you raise your hand up? Maybe you brought a first-time guest. Raise your hand for them. Glory. Listen, church. Come on now. We got guests right up here. Amen. We got to start inviting some people out for church, right, church? Right. Amen. You guys seem really, really excited about that. So in that packet, you're going to have a guest reception ticket. We have right down here, Miss Darlene, right down here. And we have a ticket in there, and we want to invite you out to our guest reception. It's following right after the service, right on the other side of this wall, and it'll give you an opportunity to meet the pastors and the staff of HT. Amen? All right. Also, we want to welcome the live stream audience. Hi, live stream. Can we say hi to live stream? We want to thank you for joining us in the second service this Sunday morning. You're a blessing to us. We thank you for joining us, and we hope you're blessed. As Pastor Shannon, she ripped it up first service. Amen. Also, next steps. You hear about it every week. We're going to keep talking about it because we believe in it. Next steps is educational. This is where we want to push you. We might even pull you sometimes and say, hey, let's go. But we have next steps classes happening every single week. Everybody say every single week. All right, so step number one is rock solid faith. That happens on Tuesday nights at 7, Wednesday mornings 9 a.m., and Thursday nights at 6 p.m. So you can actually attend those classes. And step two, we have faith and finances. That's happening on Tuesday nights at 7 with the minister prophetess Carla Vischer. Raise your hand, lady. Maybe you could stand up, you know, show people who you are. She's the loud one that you don't ever hear. Carla Fisher. So we're teaching faith and finances. Again, that's an 8-week course. That's step number two in next steps. All right, so make sure you are signing up for that. You can go to the hub and sign up online as well. Again, just to reiterate what was already put on the screen, Uproar Talent Show is February 10th. That's Friday night. Men, listen, if you have not yet bought a ticket for Uproar Show, find a sitter and take your wife on a date. You can also come if you're single. I just want to make sure I say that clearly, because we don't want anybody throwing anything at me and saying, I can go. So, yeah, listen, we have the Uproar Talent Show. Obviously, we know what this goes for, because the Uproar Conference we put on every single year as a free conference. Amen. And we want to be able to sow into a youth of our community. So that's February 10th. Sign up, buy tickets for that. Next Sunday evening, it's come up really quick, we have the Rock Solid Faith graduation. Yay. Who's attended Rock Solid Faith before in this house? Who's attending Rock Solid Faith right now? Okay, listen, you still have the opportunity to sign up to graduate. We still have spots open for that. That will be next Sunday evening. So you want to sign up at the Hub for that. And then Empowering Pastors Leadership Summit. That's coming up real quick in March, March 20th and through the 22nd. If you have any questions, you can please see Pastor Obi. He is incognito right now, so I cannot point him out. So you can still go to, I'm hearing, is he hiding? Where's Waldo? There he is. Pastor Obi, can you please stand up? Empowering Pastors Leadership Summit is to encourage the leaders, encourage the pastors, but it's not just for them, it's for leaders, and it's being able to get invested into and so on. It's just an awesome conference. You can sign up for that or see Pastor Obi. It's empoweringpastorssummit.com. I think I said enough. Amen? All right, Pastor Chad.
Hey, church, how's it going this morning? I love this section of the service because, honestly, giving is one of the best parts about being a Christian. And this year, as the generous church, there's nothing greater to learn about than becoming generous. You see, generosity is a lifestyle. It's not a once or twice situation. How many of you guys know that this time of year, you know, you get your giving statements back. You get to be able to see, man, you know, like, this is how much I've given to the church. And I love this time of year because my competition every single year is I need to beat last year's giving. I need to give more. I need to be increasing just like God is increasing me. So this year I got my giving statement, and so now I have my next challenge for 2017 to beat my last year's giving statement. You see, how many of you guys know that the tithe is part of the covenant that you have with God? It's part of the commandment that God has given us. And if you want to argue with me here, I'm going to read a quick scripture. That's Malachi 3:10. And it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for the land will be in such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies." You see, when we talk about tithe, we talk about lifestyle. How many of you guys know when you start to come to church, you start to get acquainted with God, there's some things that need to change in your life. You can't be a Christian and just go Sunday to Sunday and never change your lifestyle. But when you change your lifestyle looks like what the Bible promises. Have you ever been like, man, the Bible says that, but my life doesn't look like that. Well, maybe we need to make a lifestyle change in order to get the harvest that we're looking for. You see, obedience always creates favor. When we go to 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a lady, and she's referred to as the Shunammite woman. You see, this woman had an encounter with a prophet. His name was Elisha. And see, God had spoken to her and said that he's a prophet and that she should do these things. So what she did was, after she fed him every time he came through town, she built quarters up in her house. She built an addition on the house. She put a bed, a table, a chair, a lamp, and she provided for him so when he came through town, he had a place to stay. You see, honor opens up a blessing for your life. And so part of honoring is honoring God with our offerings and with our tithes. You see, this is a lifestyle change. This isn't a once or a twice situation. It's every single week, every single increase. And you know what? It's not a burden. It's actually an opportunity to be obedient to God's word. You see, as she became obedient, God protected her and gave her a promise. That obedience opened up so that she could have a son. Her husband was old. The doctors told her that she couldn't have a child. And one of the greatest blessings on earth she received. She received a baby boy to carry on her lineage. You see, most people stop there, though. But I want to tell you that when you change your lifestyle to align with God's word, your lifestyle is going to create God's word, okay? And what I mean by that is this. This woman, she didn't just receive a blessing and receive a son. A few years later, there was a famine coming in the land, and Elisha went to her, and he said, there's going to be a famine for 7 years. Move to another country and then come back afterwards. Otherwise, you're not going to make it, and your family won't make it. You see, this isn't just a once-off thing. This is a perpetual thing that you are living inside of. When you are obedient continually, you're going to be blessed continually. And so this woman, she moves to another country. And then 7 years later, she comes back. So God protected her lifestyle. She protected her prosperity. She kept her from the famine that everybody else had to face. So I don't care what the economy says right now, what the news is looking like. You're above and beyond that because you have the favor of God in your life. But that's only if you're obedient to the word of God. That's only if you live that lifestyle. Then she comes back to the king and asks for her land back because she had been gone for so long. And it just so happens, the moment she walks in to talk to the king and ask for her land, Gehazi, Elisha's assistant, was telling the king testimonies about his life, about this boy that was brought back to life, about this boy that was promised, and about this Shunammite woman. And then she walks in the door. You see, your blessings are not coincidences. They're lined up by God, and your prosperity is prepared by God. So she comes in, and the king says to her, well, I'm going to restore all of your land to you. Then I'm also going to give you the 7 years' worth of harvests and crops that you missed while you were gone. I'm going to repay you what the famine stole from you. You see, God always delivers. God has protective power in giving. God wants to protect your finances, but he just wants a little bit just to see where your heart is, just to see if you're willing. Because let's be real, if you don't believe in something, you're never going to invest in it. You see, God gave her a son. God protected her from famine. And then God restored what was owed to her. And there are many people that are in this room. Maybe you've never stepped into the lifestyle of giving. You've never made it a part of your weekly life, your daily life. And this year, the year of the generous church, is your year to step into God's blessing in your life. Is your year to challenge yourself. What does tithe mean? It means 10%. So 10% of your income should be going to God. You see, you're not giving to a church. You're not giving to a man, but you're giving to a holy God who wants to look out for you and precede you with blessing and favor. How many of you guys want that out there in your lives today? All right, well, grab your envelope right now. Stand up and let's make our supernatural declaration. Father, I thank you for every single person in this room. Lord, I pray that lifestyles will change. Lord, that people will align themselves with your word and they will be obedient, Lord. And that you, as you said in your word, you will prove to them that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all they could ask, think, or imagine. So, Father, we seal this. We pray right now, Lord, move in their hearts and change their lifestyle today. And Jesus, I just pray a special prayer of blessing over those who are already obedient. Lord, reveal yourself like you never have before. Lord, some of them have some crops that need to be restored to them. Jesus, let's do it today in your mighty name. Amen. And now let's everybody say it with me. I am blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase you down. They're going to trip you up because you're a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and offering today.
Shine, Jesus, you shine for all the world to see. You are glorious. Shine, Jesus, you shine for all the world to see. You are glorious.
Sing it again.
Shine, Jesus.
Hallelujah. It's been good today, right? Well, as you can tell, our pastors are not here. As you can tell, Pastor Spencer, Pastor Rhonda, they actually are down in Mexico, as you saw the video play during announcements. They're actually sowing into kingdom leaders in Campeche, Mexico. And what we're doing is we're setting things up for when Brother Tiff has a crusade there in October. So we actually, God's been moving amazing down there, even while they're there, and just sowing into the kingdom leaders and getting everybody lined up is just awesome. So we just thank you. We want to pray for them real quick. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for our pastors, for those that you've set in authority in this house. And we pray, God, in the name of Jesus for your supernatural blessing. We pray for your favor to be upon them. Lord, even safe travels as they return home. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that is saturating them, for the even the sowing that they're doing while down there, blessing those people, Father God, the leaders that are coming to know more about how they are to lead churches and to lead your people, and that many, many souls will come to your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for blessing them and keeping them. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, listen, for those of you that were not here first service, wow, we were blessed. And you are going to be blessed here in second service. Something I don't even want to call our guest speaker, as I said before. She's been here since 1951. Pastor Shannon Pelko, for those of you that really think that she's been here for 1951, it's really not true. It's she's been here since the beginning, 1998. And I want to, I'm honored, I'm blessed. I'm standing here. My wife and I both are here today at His Tabernacle going 15 years strong because of Pastor Shannon Pelko and her husband Jeremy. And he's still on his cell phone. Pastor Shannon, your husband, you might need to get him off his phone while you're preaching. But I want to introduce to you Pastor Shannon Pelko. She's going to be bringing the word this morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Are you excited to be in the house of God this morning? I'm excited to be here with you, and I probably shouldn't say this, but first service I said a whole lot of things that maybe I shouldn't have probably said, so I'm going to say it anyways. It looks like second service is really ready, like more ready than first service. Maybe first service was a little sleepy, but second service, you're ready, right, Sam? Ready. Awesome. So I want to first thank Pastor Spencer and Pastor Rhonda for giving me the ability to preach today, to be able to bring the word that the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart. I need to say that this is not my word. This is a Holy Spirit word. This is what we call a rhema word. A rhema word means that it's a word for this time and this place. And in Old Testament times, there would be prophets of old that would receive a message from God, and God would send them to the kings. Those prophets would speak a word that either would bring correction, it would give direction, or it would even bring alignment back into what God wanted for that country, that nation. And the word that I have for you today, it's not a word of, you know, there are words of encouragement, right? There are messages of encouragement. There are messages that are there to teach you. And then there are messages there that are a call of action. And the word that I have for you today is a call of action. It is not a word that is here to make you feel really good when you walk out of the building. I'm sorry. I do preach words like that, but this is not it, okay? So it's a call to action. But those prophets would go and they'd speak to the kings and they'd let the kings know what in their land needed to be changed. And I don't know if you have recognized the signs of the times, but we are in the last days. And there is a sense of urgency upon the church to build the kingdom. And if the church isn't healthy, then we do not have the ability to lead those that are sick in the world into church to get healthy. And so there needs to be some changes in the church. Can I get an amen? Amen. So one thing that I want to make sure that I address with you is something that I actually did with my fourth graders for 13 years in elementary school teaching. So we did this thing every day that was my job, your job. I would tell the students what my job is, and then I would make sure that they understood what their job was. And I'm going to do that with you today because I think so many times we come into church and we think that it's the preacher's job to preach a really great message that we leave with and we can take it with us as we go, oh, that was a really good message. And by Wednesday, somebody says, oh, what was the service about on Sunday? You're like, I don't remember. Well, that's because you did not recognize that you had a responsibility as the listener. So my job is to bring the word that the Holy Spirit has given to me and to bring glory to Jesus Christ through it. Your job is to respond to the message. Your job is to make a decision right now on whether or not you are going to receive the word that is spoken and you are going to act accordingly. So that's my job. That's your job. Now, I am going to give you a forewarning. I plan to be dangerous this morning. And I'd like you to look at the person next to you and say, I'm going to be dangerous this morning. That's right. We're going to be dangerous to the devil this morning. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about compromise. Compromise is when there is a disagreement between two sides, and they make concessions so that they can come to an agreement. That's the first definition of compromise. The second definition of compromise is settling for less than what is desired. Now, for some of you, you know, compromise is a good thing. Can husbands say amen with their wives, right? Sometimes compromise is a really good thing. And other times, compromise is really bad. There was a man that wanted a boat. And he thought about this boat every single day. He thought about exactly what it would look like, how big it would be, where he would go in this boat, who would be with him. He wanted this boat so bad. And every day he would ask his wife, can I get that boat? And she'd say, no. And he'd say the next day, I really, really want this boat. Can we just get the boat? I don't think so. Can we please get the boat? Can you please let me get the boat? Absolutely not. This is where things get dangerous. That man went out and he bought the boat. How many of you know that is dangerous for that man, right? So he came back to his wife and she was very upset with him. So in a way to comfort her, he said, that's okay. Listen, in the spirit of compromise, I'll let you name the boat. She, being a good sport, said, okay. So it was time for the maiden voyage. He was so excited, could not wait to get on the boat. And he walks up to the boat and he sees the name that she named it, For Sale. How many of you know that compromise is not always a good thing? Compromise can hurt. You know, we live in a world, even in a church, of compromise. The American church has allowed itself to be compromised. We no longer live according to the word of God. We live according to the world's standards, always worried about being tolerant in the name of tolerance or being politically correct. But the word tolerance and politically correct, those words are not in the word of God. We are called to preach the raw, unadulterated word of God, and we are called to live according to the unadulterated word of God. You know, it's really interesting because there was a study that was out in the past. You might have heard of it, but it said that 50% of Christian marriages ended in divorce and that worldly marriages were at that exact same percentage, which is awe-inspiring, almost revolting, right? But when you think about how they labeled Christians in this study, we realize that they considered Christians anyone who identified themselves as a Christian. Identified. Or anyone who considered themselves to have beliefs that were Christian beliefs. So a new researcher came in and he said, I don't think this is really an adequate research-based study. I think that we need to narrow the definition of what a Christian really is. So then he went and he studied the divorce rate for those that were actively engaged in their faith and that went to church regularly. That was how he defined now the category of Christianity. And he found that those Christians, real Christians, tended to have 27 to 50% less rate of divorce than the world. Here's the kicker. Those that called themselves Christians, that identified themselves as Christians, those that just considered themselves to have the beliefs of a Christian, they had a 20% higher divorce rate than the general population. It pays to be in church, right? It saves your marriages. Those Christians that he was talking about, the ones that identify as Christians, they're considered nominal Christians. And I don't know about you, but I know that God created me to be anything but nominal. He did not create us to be a nominal church. He did not create us to be an average church or a mediocre church. And he did not create for you an average or mediocre or nominal lifestyle. He didn't create for you average blessings. We're to be great, powerful, supernatural. We're to heal the sick and free those that are enslaved in bondage. So God has equipped us with everything that we need to be great, powerful, awesome. We are, in fact, the true reflection of who he is. Why would we ever settle for average? That's not for me. 65% of altar-bound singles live with one another today. And they say things like, we're going to get married eventually. Hey, we just got to get with the 21st century. This is just how things are done. Or they say things like, getting married is kind of like buying a car. You got to try it out first. I don't know about you, but I am not a car. And I think that I'm worth a little bit more than a vehicle. I would be offended if someone referred to me as having to try me out first to see if it fits. That's not the kind of woman that I am. So if you have a woman that settles for that, you got the wrong woman. Just saying. They also say things like, what difference does a certificate make? It's just a piece of paper. Or rationalizations that people make. We're older, we're more mature now. Or I've been divorced and I'm not ready to step into a marriage again. Or maybe we're really wanting the tax benefits. Or we're co-parenting. We have a child together, so we're parenting together. Or look, everybody's doing it. Even Christians are. And 65%, that 65% that we're talking about that, many of them are Christians. This is what we have compromised on in the American church today. In Acts, if you look at Acts 15, 20, 1 Corinthians 5, 19, 6, 13, 8, 10, 8, 2 Corinthians 12, 21, Galatians 5, 19, Ephesians 5, 3, Colossians 3, 5, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, Jude 7, and every one of those verses, it speaks of sexual immorality. And if I had kept going, we'd still be here, going through those verses. Every one of them. And the word for sexual immorality is pornea, which means pornography. So those of you that are involved, getting busy, and think situations that you have no business getting busy in, you're having sex outside of marriage, you are participating in pornea, which means pornography. It does not just come in the form of a book or in the form of a movie. It also comes in the form of any sexual immorality that you participate with. Now, that pornea, that word in the Greek means unlawful lust. So if you are not married by a judge or by a pastor, if you do not have a certificate with a stamp on it, if it has not been registered with the government that you live in, you are not married and you are participating in unlawful lust. I don't care if you think that you're married in your hearts or not. You're not. Now, why am I saying all this? I'm saying this because these are even the lies that the Christian church has begun to believe. We've adopted the world's standards as our own. We are to be the standard. We don't live according to their status quo. We are the status quo. We are called to be a holy church, but instead what we have done is we've allowed the world to taint every breath of, every meaning of the word Christianity. Being a Christian, those that decide, I'm going to identify myself as a Christian. It's like you're identifying yourself as a Republican or a Democrat. This isn't a political party. This is citizenship in the kingdom of God. And we should live like we are citizens in the kingdom. Listen, God will not compromise his word for you. Because if God were to compromise his word for you, he would be compromising his love for you. If God were to compromise his word for you, then God would be compromising his design for your destiny. If we look at those verses again and we look at Galatians 5:19, it says there, the acts of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. There's not a disclaimer that in your Bible. It doesn't say the acts of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, unless everybody's doing it, even Christians, or unless you're living together for the tax benefits, or unless God understands my situation. Well, it doesn't say that you're to obey the word if your situation and your circumstance allows it. There's nothing convenient about a walk with God, people. You live in the world. The world can be difficult, and living as Christians in it means that sometimes we have to make the difficult choices. We cannot settle for less than God's best in our life. We are not meant to be moved by the world. We are meant to be moved by the word. I know that this is a strong word, but we were called to be a strong people that did not bend and wave for every wind of culture that comes our way. We have become a people that bow to the false prophets and the false idols of pop culture. It's a very scary place that the church is in today. Ask yourself, how is my lifestyle bringing God glory? How are the decisions that I'm making bringing him glory? Because we were created for him, not for ourselves, not for our own worship, but for him. We were created to long for him, to desire him. Instead, we preach a watered-down gospel with our lifestyle. If we live by the world's standards, then we will never have a pulpit to minister from. We are called to be the light in the midst of the darkness. And the church today is inoculated by a plague called compromise. It's really interesting because I love the definition of compromise. It alludes to a battle, a disagreement. And it says that both sides make concessions to come to a place of agreement. Where in the Bible do you ever see that God says that you should make concessions with the devil? Because all the world has to offer us is the counterfeit to what God has. We should never concede. There's this tree in India. It's called the banyan tree. And it actually is produced originally from a very small seed. And what happens is that there's this full-grown host tree, and the birds of the air drop this banyan seed onto the tree. This banyan tree begins to take root in the host tree, and it webs itself around the host tree, around the bark system, around the root system, and it squeezes literally the life out of the host tree to the point where that host tree decomposes and dies. And in the same way, the things that seem so small in your life that you're making compromises on, maybe it's the type of books that you read. Maybe it's the type of music that you listen to. Maybe it's the movies that you're watching that should be called rated X, but they're called PG-13. I'm sorry, but there are some movies out there that are not worth watching. And I know some of you are sitting here thinking, yeah, she's super saved. Yup, yes, I am. Yes, I am. But what's sad is that Facebook gives us flack for living a righteous, holy life, but the church gives us flack for living a righteous, holy life. We are called to be holy. We are called to be righteous. We are called to be no compromise people. You should not be compromising who you are at your job. You live like Christ no matter where you are. You should not be compromising who you are with your family or your spouse or the one your spouse doesn't know about. You should be no compromising when it comes to your finances. Every area of your life should be set apart, consecrated. Did you hear that? Set apart. The Bible tells us that we should no longer be conformed to the world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are not called to take part and participate in this world. We are called to occupy until he comes, not participate. We are called to be foreigners and strangers in a strange land, not to be part of this world. We are the standard, the light, the city on a hill. We are called to be the salt, but unfortunately, the church has lost its flavor. And there's no difference between the world and us. I know that this is a strong word, but this is urgent. Do you feel the urgency? There has to come a point where we, the church, wake up. Wake up from your slumber. We are a desensitized church. Not only is the world desensitized, we are. Watch what's on TV. There's all kinds of occult shows all over your TV set, and a lot of Christians are watching them. There are psychic parties happening in people's homes, and Christians are hosting them. We are a desensitized church. We don't notice when the devil slips in on the sly and begins to drop seeds in our life that produce a fruit that strangles our relationship with God. Holy church. We are called to be holy because he is holy. We are called to be a righteous church, right standing with God. Not that we can do it on our own, but because of the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ, we now have the opportunity to be holy and righteous. And we are called to pursue righteousness, pursue holiness. But instead, we're caught up in the world. You know, there are several instances in the Word of God where compromise occurred. Adam and Eve, right? You will not truly die if you eat that fruit. How many times do we hear similar things coming out of Christians' mouths towards one another? It's okay if you swear once in a while. You're not going to go to hell for swearing. It's okay if you watch crude humor movies sometimes. You're not going to go to hell for that. It's okay for you to participate in this or participate in that. You're not going to go to hell. It's not okay. We have been called to set the standard. We cannot allow those things to be in our life. So in the same way that Adam and Eve, they did die. They didn't die a physical death. They died a spiritual death. No longer able to walk in the cool of the day with their God. No longer provided for. Maybe there's some situations in your life you've been like, Lord, I've been praying for breakthrough. I've been praying for breakthrough. I've been praying for breakthrough. Why can I not get my breakthrough? Maybe it's just a time thing where you need to walk by faith. But it might be that there are some compromises in your life that you need to repent of and to make right. God is calling for the church of today to get serious about their relationship with God. Not just come in and be wet bench warmers in the house of God, but to truly be changed and transformed and be the light in the midst of the darkness now, not tomorrow, not when you actually get married, not when you grow up a little bit and you're done sowing your wild oats, not when your finances are perfect, not when you have all of your ducks in a row, but now. Listen, the rapture is coming. And Jesus is going to come and catch the remnant, those that are serious about their relationship with God. He's going to take them into heaven with him. And there will be those that identified as Christians that will be left behind. It's okay if you don't believe that. It does not change the truth. It's okay if you make decisions that don't position you to be ready for that. It doesn't change that it's going to happen. There is an urgency in this place at this time. That's why this Rhema word needs to be spoken. Sodom and Gomorrah, a place that was so filled with evil that God chose to destroy the entire place. But because Abraham begged mercy for Lot and his family, the angels were sent to pull them from their home before the devastation came. And fire began to come down from the heavens. Listen, fire began to come down from the heavens. There will be a day where those that do not choose Christ will have to suffer the same fire. It's called hell. And I know I could preach a really fluffy word to you this morning, and you can ask Josiah Skinkle. I am like, he calls me a super exhorter, which means that I go around encouraging people all the time. And he's like, can you get any more happy? Can you get any more encouraging? You just need to stay away from me. You're too encouraging. Now I'd like to encourage you to get right with Jesus. This is necessary. I'm not saying this to condemn you. The Holy Spirit isn't preaching this to condemn you, but to convict you. We need to be a changed people. We need to come to a place where we're more hungry to please God than we are to please the world. We're more hungry to please God than we are to please our children or our boss or our pastor. We need to be more hungry for the presence of God than for any other thing. So Lot's family, they're being rushed out of the city. And the one instruction they were given was, don't look back. Lot's wife turned around, looked back at the world that she had left behind, and immediately was turned to a pillar of salt. The world has nothing to offer you but death. Nothing. Then Lot, his family, they led a lifestyle of compromise. So Lot and his two daughters, the only ones that are left, they're living in a cave. And the two daughters decide, well, there's no one around to give me an heir. So we've got to do something here. So the girls decide that they're going to get their father drunk. This is a little disgusting, just so you know. I'm warning you. They're going to get him a little drunk. And they're going, one of those women, the first daughter, is going to go in and she's going to sleep with her father so that she can have a baby. And so they do that. The father doesn't even know what happened. The next day, the second daughter, they get him drunk and she goes in and sleeps with the father. Now to us, we're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. That's so disgusting. But don't you take any man that comes your way? And don't you take any woman that comes your way? Don't you settle for less than God's best for your life all the time? It does not need to come in the form of a man or a woman, but it can come in the form of a job that you knew you were not supposed to take. It can come in the form of a living situation you know you weren't supposed to participate with. It can come in the form of a party that you knew you were not supposed to attend. It can come in the form of a relationship that you knew you should not have. And in every one of these situations, they're opportunities. Little seeds drop that look like no big deal at all. Before you know it, your entire relationship with God is so consumed that your life is done. Your spiritual life is gone, squeezed right out of you. We do not have to be that people. We're called to be people that are holy, changed, transformed, and always looking to grow in our relationship with Christ. Not pursuers of church, pursuers of God. Not pursuers of title, pursuers of his heart. Children of God that long for him. I want you to tell somebody next to you, a lifestyle of compromise compromises my lifestyle. Tell somebody else, a lifestyle of compromise compromises my lifestyle. Amen. Compromise is the enemy of holiness. Compromise in your walk with God is the enemy of righteousness. Compromise in your walk with God is the enemy of your very soul. When you compromise, you sell out to the devil. If you look at Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, it says, Moses and Aaron address Pharaoh, saying that the Lord God of Israel demanded that the Pharaoh let the Israelites go. Pharaoh responds by saying, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? How many times do we say that with our lifestyle? Who is the Lord that I should obey? Whatever, pick something out of the Bible. Who is the Lord that I should obey? Paying my tithes. Who is the Lord that I should obey? Coming to church. You do know that that's a command, right? I'm just saying. I'm just here to tell you. He says, I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. See, Pharaoh was considered the second highest god in all of Egypt. He was actually seen as the son of Ra. So in Pharaoh's eyes, he truly was a god. So for him to submit to the Lord God Almighty, it would have been unnatural to him. Unnatural. But God shows up in the supernatural and shows Pharaoh that he is greater than even himself. And we see here that compromise always comes from a place of conceit. Pharaoh was unwilling to honor God because he felt that he was a better God than the Lord of the Israelites. And unfortunately, sometimes we make compromises in our life that show that we believe the same thing. We believe that our ways are higher than his ways. We believe that we are the God of our own life. And you know what? You can be. You can be the God of your own life. In fact, in Romans, God talks about how there are some that refuse to get things right in their relationship with God. They refuse to do things the God way. They consistently lead a lifestyle that is opposed to the word of God. And he says that eventually he will turn them over to themselves. So if you don't want to live for Christ, you don't have to. But don't say that you are when you're not. It gives real Christians a bad name. I know it's harsh. I know this is a harsh word, but it's important for us to recognize the position we are in as the church of today. If you look at Exodus chapter 7, verses 10 through 12, it says, so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But what I love about this is that Aaron's serpent ate them all. So that just proves that the Lord of the Israelites is greater than the Lord of the world, because that's what Pharaoh represents. In the Old Testament, Pharaoh was a type and cast of the New Testament, of the representation of the world. He was a representation of sin. So God Almighty will always overcome the world. And anything that the world has to offer is nothing but a counterfeit to what God has to offer. We see here that when the Nile was changed to blood, those magicians were able to do that as well. It just didn't last a full 7 days like the Lord of Israel's change to blood did. They were able to produce frogs just like God was able to produce frogs. They just couldn't make them go away. I like that part. They were not able to do any other miracles other than those things. The next plague that came was lice. And I love this. The reason why they were not able to produce the lice is because only God can bring life from the dust of the earth. Isn't that awesome? Only God. And then there are several other plagues that occur. But even we as Christians, we offer up counterfeit worship. We offer up counterfeit holiness and counterfeit submission. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What compromises are we making when it comes to our relationship with God? See, my heart today is not to beat you up with this. My heart today is that you will take a look today, an evaluation of where you're at in your relationship with Jesus. What things have you allowed to come into your life that you are compromising your walk with God on? Do you look like the world and the way that you conduct your everyday activity, or do you look like Jesus? When someone comes at you, do you react the way Jesus would have you react, or do you react the way that you feel like reacting at that time? There are so many people, God, Christians feel this way. So many people have the God of their emotions over their life rather than the God Almighty over their life. Well, I just didn't feel like, well, I was angry because, well, I was offended because. No. Counterfeit. That's going to steal from you the great things that God has for your life. Every single one of the plagues that came against Pharaoh, they actually pulled down the gods that were in Egypt. There was a god that had the head of a frog. Why do you think God sent frogs? They couldn't get rid of them. They could produce them, but they couldn't get rid of them. But the Lord of Israel could. They had a god that was the god of the flies. He Khepri, Egyptian god of creation, movement of the sun, rebirth. Again, swarms of flies came all through Egypt, sent by the Lord of Israel. There was the god Hathor. He was the god of love and protection. He affected the cattle and the livestock, or God affected the cattle and the livestock, so that they would recognize that the only protection that they would ever have, true protection, didn't come from that God, but it came from the Lord of Israel. There were ashes turned to boils and sores. That represented the Isis God, the goddess of medicine and peace. Then hail came, which then brought down the Egyptian goddess of the sky, and so on and so forth. If there are gods that you have in your life, false idols that you have in your life, you want to pull them down now. Because I don't know about you, but I would much rather take those gods out of my life than to have the Lord of Israel come out of my life. Pull down those things in your life that are not honoring God. I'm going to have you all bow your heads and close your eyes. There are things in our lives, all of us, that we have compromised on. I'm actually doing this down here on the floor because we all have to be on guard against the compromises, those opportunities, those seeds that we're presented with in life. This is the time. I pray that you will get this today, that you will wake up and see the signs of the times. This is the time where we need to align ourselves up once again with the Word of God. You want your breakthrough? Line yourself up. Everything that you have need of is in Christ. You don't have to allow any fear keep you in the compromising position that you are in. God will provide. You can trust Him. What He said He will do, He will always do. If there's anyone here who has never asked Jesus to be the Savior of their life, they don't know what it means. Maybe you don't know what it means to start fresh and new. Maybe you think, I've done so many things. I've done all those things. I've lived that life. I've said those things. I've made those decisions in my life. And I have nothing to show for it. I have a mess in my life, in my marriage, in my finances, in my family. I need to get things right. If that's you and you've never asked God to forgive you of those things and you want to start fresh and new, I'm going to have you raise your hand. Just raise your hand. No compromise. I see you. Anyone else? I see you. And if you really, truly do want to be right with God, maybe you've made some mistakes along the way and you've made some compromises. You've settled for less than God's best in your life. You recognize that there are some areas of my life that are unholy, that I need to bring back into alignment with God's word. I recognize the urgency of this time. If that's you, I'm going to have you raise your hand. I see you. I see you. There comes a time where we need to make a serious step forward. You know, sometimes we can do things just in the supernatural. And you can sit in your chair and you can pray and you can ask God to do whatever you need in your life. But there are other times where what we do in the natural produces in the supernatural. So I'm going to ask you to be bold this morning. How many of you know that holiness requires boldness? So I'm going to ask you to be bold this morning. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to get up and come right on up front. Our pastors and our ministers, we want to pray with you. If you are accepting Jesus Christ for the first time, we're going to ask you to come up front. We're going to lay it all on the altar today. Urgency, urgency, urgency. Urgency. Jesus, Jesus. She's going to pray with me. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for the things in my life that I have not given over to you. And for the areas that I've compromised. Heavenly Father, make me new. Change my mind. Transform my heart. Let me be so different when I leave today that I'll even look different. My friends will remark that I'm a different person. Thank you, Lord, for the refreshing of the love that I initially had for you. Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that every single person that stands in front of me, that a fresh fire will ignite inside of every single one of them. Father, that your holiness will begin to consume them, that those things that they are giving over to you right here, right now, in this place, that they will not pick them up again, but that they will leave them right here, that they truly will walk a changed life. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us unconditionally, that you have nothing but greatness for us, and that every person that is up here right now, they just got their breakthrough. Jesus, I praise you for their willingness to come up here and submit all things to you. I give you the glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, every person that is under the sound of my voice in this place, Lord, I speak favor. I speak protection over their lives as they go. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that as they move throughout the week, this message will resonate in their hearts. What areas am I compromising in? And what areas do I need to get right with you, Jesus? That it will nag them, that it will not leave them alone until they've done what they need to do. And when there is opportunity to step into an unholy situation, that they'll hear the word compromise spoken by the Holy Spirit, and they will not go there, Jesus. You protect us. You keep us. You shelter us. You seal the work that you've done in us. And we give you the glory for it, Lord. We will glorify you with everything in our life, Lord. In Jesus' name, blessings on everyone in this place. Amen. The prayer team will be up here at the altar to minister with you.
Oh.